Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first edition of Brotherly Love Wrestling Presents Unite, our exclusive to our Patreon account and to this show, brainchild of my co-host, Joe, and probably the best thing we'll ever do. So, Joe, why don't you explain to everybody what this show is?
Well, this is a story, or this is a show about stories from different African-American wrestlers, not just pertaining to wrestling, just kind of life in general. This is going to be real. This is going to be raw. This is going to be conversations that need to be had just so we can grow and learn to grow as a society, not just a wrestling fan, because we need to grow as a wrestling fan, but as a whole, we need to grow as a community. We need to grow as a people, as a human race.
So, and joining us for this episode, a former guest on our show, and so glad to actually now be able to see him, Frontman Ja joins us.
Hey there, how we doing, guys?
Right.
So, Frontman, basically, our floor is now yours. So, anything that you have to say, anything that we might not know, and just educate.
Educate. So, as a black man in America right now, it's a very odd time. You know, it's easy to get angry at any and everything that's going on right there, constantly living your life, looking over your shoulder and essentially auditioning for the approval of whoever you're interacting with. And I say it's an odd time doing that because it's become more obvious to white America what it's like for us now. And I feel like for the first time, a lot of white America is seeing and accepting the differences that I'm going to have living my everyday versus what you're going to have living your everyday. And I'd like to preface this with, I'm not some philosophical, you know, head. I'm purely a dude with the experience, 26 years of experience living as a black man in America. And with a name like Ja C, it's kind of hard to blend in. You know what I mean? I kind of wear my heritage on my sleeve in a way. But it's also an odd time because I'm forced to, while I'm here to educate you, I'm forced to educate myself because you have to almost know everything that's going on in the world at any given time. And it's beyond just watching news, you know, it's having conversations so that we can grow. And I think it's hard because you get locked into autopilot, man. I'm just used to the way things were. I'm used to, as sick as it sounds, I'm used to getting nervous, getting pulled over, right? That's the focal point of what's going on right now of a larger picture. But like, getting pulled over for me is so much different than it is for you. And I'm used to that, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm forced to educate myself because I shouldn't be used to that. I shouldn't be, you know, like,
absolutely.
I shouldn't be used to that.
No.
I wish I had an answer for it.
And believe
me,
but
I guess that's why we're having these conversations, so that we can find an answer for it.
I mean, I wish we had an answer for it too. I mean, obviously you're comfortable being nervous because what we're finally seeing, and largely in part to not just the media, but social media in general. I mean, now so many people have access to what's going on. But I think it's the larger number now is witnessing it. Like, because we've, as individuals, we've all witnessed, for the most part, witnessed injustice. And now I feel like it sucks to say this, but now that the numbers are high enough, now we feel comfortable speaking out, because it was usually, it was the other way around. It was, you were usually in the minority, so to speak, in the defense. Like, when you want to jump to someone's defense, because you usually have more people against you than with you. And that's just what I've noticed growing up, like having black friends and whatnot, that some of my, like, different groups of friends be like I they wouldn't gel together. So like I've seen that firsthand, and being young, you don't really think about it, but as you grow up, you look, you're like, wow, it's just messed up the way it's always been. And it's messed up that people are just finally figuring that out now, but hopefully we can look at this and be like, look, we need to change as a society. We need to. Like, you can't live like, you can't try and kill off another part of the human race. Like, that, you can't function in a society like that. You can't. It's barbaric.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't exist. Like, we don't exist without each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I seen a tweet by Terry Crews tweeted out something, and it was something along the lines, and don't quote me word for word on it, but it was something along the lines of the only way to eradicate white supremacy is to also eradicate black supremacy. Now, everybody on Twitter, something like that. Yeah, it's not word for word. Everybody on Twitter hopped on Terry Crews, and they gave him a hell of a time, because to them, I expect that they thought he meant all lives matter, right? And that's like, that's a dirty fucking phrase, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a dirty phrase, right?
Let it fly. You're good.
But because Black Lives Matter is so important that we get that out there, right? Yeah. And I don't think that he meant the all lives matter. I think what he meant was more so like what you said, unity is the overall goal. And when we all agree that Black Lives Matter, and it's no longer a fight to prove that Black Lives Matter, then we can say all lives matter. But until we can all accept and prove that Black Lives Matter just as much as all lives, then we have to abolish that all lives matter, if that makes sense at all. I know it's kind of absolutely, like a rambling thing, but you know, go ahead.
I think he, I say, like, I try to look like differently as other people. I think he meant that we weren't meant to rule each other.
Yeah.
Neither one of us was meant to be supreme. And
exactly.
History will tell you that, well, that's not true, that the white man was meant to reign supreme over everybody else. But that's not that's just said by someone and handed down over and over through time. Like, we weren't meant to rule each other. We're all if you were to eliminate the history books and burn them, and everyone was given the Men in Black wand over your head, all you would see was people. You wouldn't know the backstory. You wouldn't know the history. You wouldn't know that, oh, that they were mistreated for hundreds and hundreds of years by us. You wouldn't know that. We would all just be equal. We would see each other in the same way. You would be darker than us, but we wouldn't know why. So we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have that predetermined hate in the mind because of your color of your skin. You would have to learn. If they did something, then you dislike them. But we would have a blank slate. So I think he meant that we weren't meant to rule over each other. We were meant to be here.
No, the belief that any one race of people is superior or above any other race of people is ignorant. Like, you just cannot live in a world like that. That's not good for us. No. You know, like, that only creates friction that only creates tension, and who wants to live in a world with constant friction and tension, man?
Who ends up winning? Because if the white supremacists were to get their way and wipe out everyone that wasn't us, or they would turn on us, the life as we know it would be over.
Yeah.
Hateful people will find any reason to be hateful towards anybody. If you're not there, then they'll find someone else. If someone else isn't there, they'll find someone else. I mean, hate just, that's the way it goes. If you eliminate that aspect, then all you have left is love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful, man. Did you ever think that, like, I never obviously would have anticipated that I would live to see the biggest civil rights fight movement of all time. Because, I mean, when you think about it, this is bigger than it's ever been. This civil rights fight is beyond what was going on in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and whatnot. You know what I mean? Because now we don't have just black people fighting for our rights. We have white, Asian, you know, Hispanic. Everybody's on the same page as,
yeah,
you know, towards the goal of, you know, we're all people and we are equal. And that's a powerful thing, man. If you've been to any of these protests going on, I've been to a few myself. And funny enough, every single protest that I've been to has never once turned into what is seen on the media. And I've been to some pretty large ones. I'm right here in the thick of it in Minneapolis, man.
I was going to say.
I've been to Minneapolis protests and St. Paul protests, and they've all been peaceful. And the sea of people and the different colors of the frickin' rainbow, man, all there with love and that same goal, driving around throughout Minnesota and seeing people on the, with the little, you know, the gimmicks on the picket lawn thing, the posters saying Black Lives Matter. That's a beautiful thing, man. This is bigger than it's ever been. And I don't know in what way, but I also feel like it's, in order to get more change, we need to keep talking. You know, it's still got to get louder. Yeah. And it's still got to get uncomfortable. And we're having a kind of an uncomfortable talk right now in a way. Like, but that's the beauty of it. Because if we don't have these uncomfortable talks and it's you just ignore stuff, nothing gets better that way.
We don't grow. If we're not if we don't push ourselves to be uncomfortable, we don't grow. It's only when you face adversity can you grow from it. I mean,
right, man. I was leaving a Chipotle, and just like this middle-aged white dude was walking by me, and he just asked me how I was doing with everything going on right now. And like, there's one half of my mind from a long time ago that would kind of be cynical towards that question. But now, living in what we're going through now, that is such a blessing that he stopped and took a moment out of his day to ask me, a black man, how I'm doing with everything that's going on, because he cares.
Yeah.
You know, like, just that question alone is powerful, and that shows you that we're heading in the right direction. This, as sad as what happened to George Floyd was sad, it was, and man, I wish we could change that. I wish that his daughter, who is, I think his daughter is like 2 years old or something like that, and I seen her on an interview or whatever, and she's smiling and she's beautiful as all hell because she's so young, she doesn't really know what's going on. Like, I wish that she doesn't have to live without her dad, but there's a very good possibility that his passing could change the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're talking about it, everybody's talking about it, and we have been talking about it, and we're talking about everything that's going on, and we're talking about the systemic racism and how we can change the system to you know, really experience equality throughout.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like
he made a mighty sacrifice, you know.
I mean, as long as us as a whole can make sure that she grows up so she knows that her dad was the person who created this change, as untimely and as horrible as it was, if she can grow up and have a little bit of peace of mind when she's of age to know that my dad is my hero.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, also, all love to George Floyd and his family. We also have to remember that this is also bigger than just George Floyd as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's hopefully the last, one of the last names on a very long list. You know, the Breonna Taylor story is heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And I think that that needs to be pulled to the forefront as well. You know, Trayvon Martin's story, you know, these are legendary things that kids lost their lives. For me, the story of Ahmaud Arbery, that one hit home. Because Ahmaud Arbery, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that story at all, but he was a black man living in Georgia somewhere. And he was jogging one day, and a father and a son trailed him on his jog. One of them pulls in front of him as to lock him in. The son hops down. They get into a scuffle, and he gets shot several times right there and dies during a jog. And there's three white men that are still free in Georgia.
That was recent, right?
That was within the past few months or so.
And they,
I know it was actually prior to George Floyd's passing. That was about a month prior, and that one shakes me because, I couldn't tell you how many times I jog around my block.
You go out for a run.
Going out for a run, and the young man was like 25 years old. He's about the same age as me, man. That's scary. That's terrifying. And these assholes are out here, and because they believe that they're above him, or they believe that their life matters more than his, that's sickening to me. And the fact that a system almost allows that. Now, I don't know if it necessarily rewards it, but they certainly allow it. Like,
not having a consequence is a reward in itself.
Exactly. And, brother, that's dark. That's dark.
It's scary because it could happen anywhere. It's not like it can just happen in the South.
I'm in Minneapolis, man, and about last week I was coming home from a protest, and I decided to spend the night at a friend's house in Brooklyn Center because there was KKK sightings in town. No, it's not just in the South.
Well, it's everywhere.
And, goodness gracious. Also, did you know that the KKK is not declared a terrorist group?
I did know that.
Oh, how the hell is that even possible?
I wish to God I had that answer. I don't understand it, just like a lot of other people don't understand how you could have a group of people that has grown over the years and are synonymous for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's killing black people.
Yeah.
And spreading hatred. And they know, and people know. Now, and the conspiracy theories will come out that, oh, well, the KKK is in the pockets of the police.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Just because there was like a conversation going around as far as, reminiscing about first experiences with racism as a within the black community, right? I'm curious, as a white man, what is the first time that you recognized racism or experienced it towards the black people? I'm curious.
A vivid memory would be probably middle school era, yeah. 7th, 8th grade on the football team.
Somebody drop a hard R?
It was more or less like, because like I said, I had black friends. I still have black friends, and I was really cool with them on the football team. Like we were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then my white friends, they didn't like, I would get like the side eye. I would be like, it would be like, well, why are you hanging out with them? But like, what do you mean? I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with them. They think I'm funny. I think they're funny. It's cool. And that's kind of like, there was nothing really like over the top, but it was enough to be there to be like, what the fuck? What does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like anything. And then as I grew up and got into high school, it got, then you noticed you noticed it more and you paid attention more and you're like, all right, well. And the problem is, like, I've stepped up and I've said things, but I feel like it needs to be done on a larger scale, not just by me, but by everyone. I mean, it needs to become the norm that everyone needs to be equal, but the people that are stepping out of line, they need to become the minority. The people that are the racist, they need to become the minority, and we got to keep them in check. Because I feel like that was the thing over time, that they were never kept in check. And I use the analogy for racism as if you've ever been to like a hypnotist. They repeat a word or they repeat an action over and over again. They get you fall into a trance and they keep repeating that word to get you to do an act. So over time, growing up as a white person in some circumstances, you hear the N-word said over and over again, and then you're associating that as a young person as black people, and that's hatred towards them. And that's why I link it to hypnotism, obviously on a smaller scale, that you hear things over and over and it's repetition. So when you grow up, that's all you've heard. And it's hard for some people to break that. It's hard for some people to see the other side, to see the light. They've been raised in the darkness and darkness and darkness and to hatred, hatred. So when you get older, that's what you've turned them into, a hate monger.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you keep it in check and you keep it at the minimal and you keep it till it's almost dead and gone, then we can grow. Because now you're not doing that over and over and over again.
Yeah. Man, I hope this is the start of that day, of this imaginary utopia that, you know, that we want. But I feel like we're headed in the right direction, but how do you know? How do you know? You can just keep having the conversations.
You can.
And keep learning. That's the best we can do. And stay aware of everything that's going on. I think that's something that I've been guilty of, is ignoring the news and paying attention to what's going on. You got to get better at that. It's so easy to go into autopilot.
Yeah.
You know? And then next thing you know, you're put in some predicament where, you know, fight for your life.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get to a point, I feel, that, like, it's weird with us three of us sitting here, like, how do we get it to that point? How do we take the power from the people that have it? Like, how do, if you see all this love that through all the cities with the protests, you see the loves there, how does that love break past the hate? The people that are trying to stop it. How do we succeed in that?
Jeez, man, I wish I had the answer to that one.
And it's like,
I wish there was a book I could buy that had it. I mean, an easy answer is just at the end of the day, vote and know who we're putting in power and pay attention to not even just the big stuff, not even just the presidential debates and whatnot or presidential races, but we have to stay in tune with what's going on at a local level, because, you know, home is what matters the most to us. That's what affects us most immediately. And I think that's also something I got to get better at, is paying attention to that, the local stuff.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that as well.
Man, that's the best I can say, is we just got to keep learning.
We really have to keep going with this. This can't be, like, I've seen.
It cannot be momentary outrage. It can't be. It can't be a topical situation. George Floyd cannot be a trend. Yeah. You know, he's a name on an entire movement. You know, on there's so much more that is intended beyond just justice against Chauvin and three other cops. You know, like, that's a big one. That's a big one. This is. You know, what we're hitching our wagon to, because if we can set the precedent right here that this action, police brutality and such, and systemic racism is unacceptable, if we can set the precedent right here, you know, then we can move forward and head in the right direction. But it's not just that one.
No.
That's very important that we keep that in mind. It's also beyond a Breonna Taylor story too. There's random instances, people whose names are totally not even known, but their gif on Twitter is getting play. Like, there is one with some guy who is complying with the cops and all that, and the cop calls his backup, and his backup comes up and just freaking throat checks him into the ground. They body slam him 2-on-1. Dude's already handcuffed, and they just beat the hell out of him. To my recollection, I believe that the guy is still alive. I don't know, unfortunately. Like, I'm not a newscaster or anything like that. But like, stuff like that cannot be acceptable. You know what I mean? Like,
at that point, it's just animalistic behavior. You know what I mean? To have a guy who's
power.
Exactly. I mean, and I think that's the biggest problem, is just putting that power to the people that they have in their hands now, and using it the way they do. And all these videos, like you said, on social media, it's just, you can see that viciousness. It's like not even human when you're looking at the way they're treating other human beings for nothing, especially, I mean, like you said, cuffed, standing there being cooperative. What right do you have to just jump on someone like that? You know what I mean? That abuse of power is sickening. And you can see how people get drunk with power and just think, well, it doesn't matter, I'll get away with it.
It is. And can you imagine, like, how many stories are out there prior to cell phone cameras?
Yeah.
Hell, think about how many stories are out there right now with in the day and age of cell phone cameras, but they didn't get it out of their pocket fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But how do we stop it? How? Fuck if I know.
There's
you know, because there's cops with the body cam that, you know, they have the body cam. The cop himself has a body cam. There's a video that's out right now. Cop has a body cam and arrests some girl at a protest, throws her into the back of the squad car, and audibly you can hear him say, "I could kill you," and they wouldn't even do anything about it. That's a video that is out there. I wish I had a name for you so you could fact check me, but I'm sure somebody watching this will tell me if I'm right or wrong. But this is a video that is existing of a cop wearing a body cam, and he's doing this.
It's because there's no accountability. There's no repercussions. There hasn't been any repercussions to their actions until now. And this is to go further on your point. That's the way that we end this, is to hold those that are in power accountable for their actions. Because the last time I checked, we're not living in a dictatorship, or we don't have a king ruling us. We were supposed to be the land of the free, and that doesn't mean just one race is free.
Mm-hmm.
Land of the free is for everybody. And for these people to get the power and to abuse their power like they do, they need to be held accountable, and there needs to be some standard that we can set that this happens. Look, we have rules. If we break a law, we go to jail. There needs to be tiers of that. You're going to kill someone? Well, guess what? That's life.
Yeah.
That's life in prison with the people that you put in there. So,
yeah, you and I, neither one of us is a cop, but if we take somebody's life, we are in prison for life. It's you give it life, or you take a life, you get life. Mm-hmm. Or give a life, or whatever.
Depending on where you're at, you might get the death penalty.
How is it that we can allow that just because he's got a badge and a blue suit, he can kill whoever he wants, and he can still have Christmas with his family?
Yeah.
How the hell is that fair?
It's broken.
Not at all.
System's broken.
Not at all. Yeah.
That having these conversations are good. I mean, it's kind of like a brainstorming session mixed with.
Like, and I can't say it enough, dude. Like, for anybody who actually is taking the time to watch this, like, we're not three geniuses here pontificating on the answers right now. I guess we are kind of pontificating. We are just three dudes trying to figure it out. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think that's where it starts, but I think it needs to, Like, it needs to move quick. Like, this, it needs to start and it needs to gain traction and it needs to take off. Like, and I think it is moving in the right direction, but it needs to continue. This can't just be a trend. This needs to be a way of life at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's miserable is what it is. It's miserable. And I'm coming from the white person standard, like, but it's miserable. Mm-hmm. It's miserable seeing this and not being able to do anything. Like, being someone that wants to help, being someone that wants to do something. And I know I can sign petitions, I can vote, I can protest, but there needs to be something more that we can do. There needs to be something that it has to happen. And it just frustrates
me. I can say the best you could do right now, the most immediate thing you do is if you see something, say something, speak up. You know, I was put in a situation where my brother's story. I'll tell you my brother's story because my story, it ended well. But my brother was in a car with about five of his friends or so, and he's strapped in the back seat. They get pulled over. His buddy is in the driver's seat, all white kids in the car with the exception of my brother and the dude that's in the passenger seat. Cops giving hell to the kid that's in the passenger seat and my brother who's in the back seat, two black guys in the car, right? And he's asking my brother to step out of the car to give him his license or whatever. Not once does he ask the driver to give him his license. The driver, my brother's ride or die dude, speaks up, gives the cop hell, you know, and without saying too much, scares them off and they go about their day. That instance saves my brother's life. Very, very quite possibly. Because who knows what happens? He steps out of that car and all hell breaks loose. And I don't get to play video games and kick his ass in SmackDown versus Raw 2008. You know what I mean? Because I do every time. Batista, that's the secret. But yeah, dude, like in that instance, his white friend seeing exactly what was going on, the racism happening right in front of him, and he shut that shit down. Because I got a voice, and my voice, I'd like to say one day is gonna matter and carry weight. But the more that you accept that you too have a voice, and if you see something fucked up, man, you got to say something and use that voice, and that matters. You can save a life like that, dude.
That's where it starts.
Yeah,
it's just that there's not always going to be that white person with the voice that's going to see it.
And I'm sure it's intimidating. I'm sure it's intimidating because you know you might think like, how does that affect me? I still got to get to my Pilates class, so, you know, forget that. But just know that if you do say something, it means something.
Yeah. So I just worry about it's just not getting better. I just worry about it not getting better and it actually getting worse now. It's out in the open. Like, I feel like the ones in power have that power and they have it for a reason. They've had it for so long. And no one has been able to take that away from them ever. Like, I worry that we're not going to be the ones to figure that out.
Yeah, it's scary. But you can't, as long as we don't give in to that thought. You know, I think if we're all like, fuck that, we are going down swinging. We want to completely restructure what it means to be American. And we want to stand by the justice for all. That line, we want to stand by that. If we fucking double down on that, man, as a people, and really lock together and find unity, and we all really get on the same page and call a spade and bullshit, bullshit, and not put a racist son of a bitch in office, if we can really double down on all that stuff, I think we can take them on. You know, I wish I was smart enough to have the solutions right here on my desk. I don't. Best I can do is learn.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially with like all the marches that we've seen over the past week, I know here in Philly, seeing that parkway fill up to the art museum, and it was just one of the coolest sights I've ever seen. Watch the drone video. I mean, I got chills. It was the coolest thing in the world. And in Philly, like, you have the parades for the championships and stuff like that. But this meaning so much more. And like you said earlier, the difference in all the races out there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was just the perfect sight. And I think, like you said, we're in the right direction at this point right now. The amount of people and what everyone is doing together and sticking together, this is what has to happen. And we got to keep having these conversations and got to keep doing this and being seen and heard.
Yeah. True that, man. Amen.
More people got to listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. More people. Yeah. We got to be willing to listen. We got to give them a reason to listen.
Yeah. We got to listen. We got to talk. We got to move. It's beautiful. That Philly sea of people was bone chilling. I seen that drone footage.
Mm-hmm.
Just thousands upon thousands of people. Passionate. It's crazy, man.
It's a city of brotherly love, and it needs to get back to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a saying. It needs to mean something. Things just can't be a saying. It can't just be a catchphrase. It's gotta be the way of life.
I hear you.
So Frontman, one thing just to at least bring it back into the wrestling realm just a little bit. When you were coming up coming into these locker rooms, was there any time where you walked in and you felt judged immediately, felt uncomfortable because you can just feel it in the air?
I mean, yes, for many reasons. But are you asking specifically as a black man?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Specifically as a black wrestler, I can tell you we often get labeled as charismatic or athletic, and we are never really showcased as just being good or potentially even the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times you're fit into like this little archetype, this little box. You got to sing, you got to dance, you got to shuck and jive for them, be the entertainment. But really, it's the dude with the complexion A's with the six-pack abs and the long hair that he's going to get the strap or the push to the top. And I wish that wasn't true. And I'm not saying that there's never black wrestlers that they get through to the top. Sure, there's a one every so often, right? But not so much on the indies. On the indies, it's fair. On the indies, you got some tremendous black talent out there that mm-hmm. is kicking ass. You got guys like a Myron Reed or a Shug D signed now. You got the Flip Bros up here in Minnesota. You got Alpha Omega down in the St. Louis area. There's some tremendous talent out there, man. But it's hard because you also often get compared to one another so much, you know, and we're all individuals.
You don't see that happening as much to the white, right? They all seem to be non-categorized and like, oh, this guy's
right.
Nothing like this guy. Like they'll argue that like, oh, he's not anything like that.
Yeah. Dude, a lot of times we got to work twice as hard to get half as much. And it's hard, and you're also put into a position sometimes where it's like you can't run your mouth too much either. You know, you got to watch what you say and mind your P's and Q's. That's how you navigate through the political waters. But I will say, speaking for my generation, if I can, I think we're in a generation where the guys really want to buck the system and dismantle that structure completely.
I think you're
seeing
right.
A lot more speaking up, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
everyone's got a bigger platform nowadays. It's not just
and they're using it. You know, mm-hmm. if you use your platform, man, you're really making the most out of it. Yeah,
absolutely. So, I mean, we want to thank you for coming on and giving us your time and giving us your perspective on everything that's going on. I mean, we didn't really touch on the wrestling aspect. We touched on life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted this to be. I wanted this to be the wrestler's life.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we don't see. This is what people have been blind to. This is why we need to open our eyes and our ears.
Yeah. True that. Amen. Thanks for having me on, guys. This was fun.
Yeah,
it's cool to not have to throw on the wrestler voice.
I was just gonna say that, like, it's very different from our first interview when we had you on to now. Let's set back a little bit.
Yeah,
I will say this, that first interview, not following you that much at that time, having that interview sold me.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yep.
100%. That. Yep.
Give me what I say right now. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I hope so. And we'll fight for you. You're in our corner now, or we're in your corner. We're in each other's corner.
We are in each other's corner. We're doing this together, brother.
That's right.
It's the only way out.
Yeah.
So, Frontman, thanks so much again. It was great talking to you. Great finally seeing you face to face. And we'll be talking to you really soon, and stay in contact.
All right. Can't wait. Love you guys.
All right.